If you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll read responsively on verses 9 through 16 of Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 9 through 16. We will read responsively on beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the day, Lord. Father, thank you for the time we're able to come to your house, Lord, and hear the Word of God preached, Father. Lord, I pray you be with preacher, Lord, as he brings the message unto us, Father. I pray you speak to our hearts, Lord, fill them with your power, fill them with your spirit, Lord. Father, I pray you just give us a great rest of the day, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to help you today. There's one verse, one statement in one verse that I want to lift out today. And I want you to notice. Keep your Bibles open. We'll use them here in a little while, but verse 16 says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. We all enjoy celebrating special days. Yesterday, Ashley had graduated, and she had a graduation party. I told her, enjoy it, because from here on out, everybody's kicking in the teeth. I did, didn't I? I say that a lot because it's true. You think you've finished, that's why it's called commencement. It's just getting started. My wife and I, on Monday, celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. And we drove to Niagara Falls, and we sat down at a restaurant there. It's called the Red Coach Inn. It's just a few hundred yards from the waterfalls itself. And it was kind of, one of the waiters said, "Is this a special day?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "30th anniversary for my wife and I." He said, "Wow, 30 years. That's longer than I've been alive." I said, "Shut up." And, of course, we had received texts from all over the country that day, folks here in the church and preacher friends and friends from around the country. I got texts from all over. I got texts from people I didn't even know. I'm not kidding. I'm thinking, okay, who's that? And but it amazes me that people don't stay married that long anymore, at least to the same person. My wife and I are the babies in the family. We've been married 30 years. I think my brother's been married 35 years. My mom and dad have been married 58, 57. Almost 58, 57, 58. They got married just after Noah got off the ark. I had three sets of grandparents that were married over 50 years, one over 65 years. Had one set of grandparents that were married over 45 years before Grandpa passed away, and then Grandma was a widow for 38 more years. Then let's see here. I've got one, two, three, four. I got four aunts and uncles that have been married over 50 years. I mean, we're the babies in the family, let me tell you. It's just, it is what the way it should be. It amazes me, though, we like celebrating special days. Birthdays are often special days. That's until you have too many of them. Then they're not as special as they used to be. Birthdays, especially for children, can be fun. As you watch them grow, you watch them mature. Now, may I say this? I'm all for having birthday parties for kids, but you throw a $3,000 birthday party for a one-year-old or a two-year-old, save it for later. Wait till they're going to remember it. I'm convinced some parents just go nuts because they want to remember it and the kid doesn't remember nothing. Until they hit about 4 or 5, they're not going to remember any birthday. I don't care how well you theme it and everything else. They're just not going to remember. Matter of fact, most of you can't remember yesterday, let alone your birthday. All right. Now, Ephesians 5:16 reads, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. The word redeem there means celebrate. It doesn't mean the same, it's not the same word in the Greek as the word we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It is a different word. It is literally the word that means celebrate. And notice what it says. It says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Here's what it says. Celebrate the special days, but those special days are bad days, not good days. Because the days are evil. These special days are days of difficulty. These special days are days of hardness. These special days are days of grief or mourning. And God says we are to celebrate those special days that are evil against us. That sounds contrary to what we want to do. Let me show you what I mean. We practice it. We just don't know it. December 7th, 1941, known as what? Pearl Harbor Day. Every December 7th, we celebrate what happened. We remember. June 6th, 1944, D-Day. Got that one. Good job, Sam. I heard that. D-Day, the invasion of France to push the final pedal to the metal on Hitler and put him where he belonged with the booger man. Say, what is that? We remember that day. We just came through the 75th anniversary for that, and President Trump was over there and spoke and honored special people that day. Who will ever forget 9/11, September 11th, 2001, the bombings of or planes being crashed into our buildings in New York City and Washington, D.C., the one that went down in Pennsylvania, and others that were stopped prior to that, thankfully. You say, what do we do on those days? Do you remember for years, and even now, you'll still, every once in a while, near September 11th, you'll see the statement, we remember. Now, we don't celebrate it in, as far as having a party, but we are to remember those days. Memorial Day. What is Memorial Day? It used to be known as Decoration Day. It is remembering those who gave their lives in service for our country. Just this week, we'll have July 4th. We're to remember our independence, but may I remind you, we had already been at war with Great Britain for a couple of years at that point in time. A lot of bloodshed to get to that Declaration of Independence and our independence from Great Britain, and more fighting yet to take place. Right. We'll celebrate something that was a difficult day. Brother Mike said something in Sunday school. He and I talked about this earlier this morning. I think Mrs. Lopez was in the office too. Be careful that you don't... you want to judge people in the Bible. You wonder why they had doubts. You wonder why they had fears. Because you've read the end of the story and know how it took place. They were living it and didn't know what the end was. That's why you have a difficult time not knowing what the end of the story is in your life. And you have doubts and failures and fears just like they did. You want to complain about what they feared, but you fear the same thing for the same reason. You don't see the end from the beginning like God does. Be careful you criticize Peter. Now, he was a loudmouth Baptist preacher. He was a little impetuous. He was a little bit like your preacher, engage mouth and insert foot every once in a while. But he got the job done. He may have cut off the soldier's ear of the high priest, but he wasn't aiming for the ear. He was aiming for the head. Ain't no soldier in the world going to try to cut somebody's ear off. He was aiming for the rest of the anatomy from there up. You say, what would Jesus have done at that point in time? He'd have picked it up, put it back on, I guess. I don't know. I just know this. Before you criticize him, say, well, if I would have been alive then, I wouldn't have done that. Then how come you don't trust God like that now? Well, I don't see why the disciples forsook him. How come you still complain about God in your life? It wasn't fair God did this to me. It wasn't fair God did this to so-and-so. Oh, just because you can't see the end, you're just as guilty. Just in a different era. Everybody doing all right? So often in life, we try to forget the hard days. But God wants us to celebrate those hard days. Notice the word, celebrate, not mourn. God does not say, mourn the hard days. He said, celebrate the hard days. In other words, happy hard times to you. Happy hard times to you. Happy hard times, God bless you. Happy hard times to you. That's what you say after you get over about 90, I guess. It is not the days of ease that define us. It is the days of hard times, the days of battle, the days of tragedy that define us. It is not the flowery beds of ease by which we get our character. We get our character in the trenches, scrapping it out and fighting our way and clawing through it. It's easy to be married on your honeymoon. Try 30 years later. Try it when there's no money to pay the bills. Oh, we'll just live on love. Yeah, until the bill collectors come. You're going to find out what you're made out of. I didn't say if they come. I said when they come. You see, it is the hard times that defines our lives. It is not the easy times that define our lives. God does not want you to mourn and self-destruct in the hard times. Matter of fact, God wants you to rise and celebrate those hard times and that you were able to get through those hard times, because that is what will make you, not the easy times. Man tells us, let's re-hurt those days. Man tells us, let's re-mourn those days. Man says, let's dread or let's be depressed about those days. But God says, let's celebrate those days. May I say this? There are too many Christians walking around sucking the carpet with a lower lip because you're all depressed. Cancel your stupid depression and let's celebrate the hard days and let's do something for God. I don't know about you. Man makes a pretty lousy God. Man doesn't have a whole lot of sense. Of course, we were in New York this week. You talk about a liberal place. And good night. Folks, I realize I may not be the most intelligent person in the world, but I don't have a problem figuring out which bathroom to use. The plumbing says one or the other, amen? When I was hatched, they didn't say to be determined. It's either male or female. Right. But you got people running around up there, a bunch of sodomites. Did you figure out what that was? Sodomites that they can't figure out who they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be, or anything else about it. Now, folks, I don't know about you, But if man can't figure out if he's a man or a woman, he got problems. And they want me to listen to that as a professional? Wrong answer. I'd rather listen to God. You see, it is the days of difficulty that define you, not the days of ease. It is the hard times. It is the grief. It is the pain that makes you what you are. Did you know all sunshine makes a desert? And yet people run around, oh, it's just been so cloudy, I can't stand rain. And well, go live in the Sahara Desert for a while and find out if you like rain. Well, rain just always makes me depressed. Well, come out of your depression and do something.
Amen.
You see, man tells us, we're supposed to re-hurt. No, you're not. You're supposed to celebrate. Folks, don't get mad at me. Everybody doing all right? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But when this old preacher does a funeral, it's not mourning time. We're going to have a good time. I'm not happy that the person has gone to heaven, but can I tell you something? It's supposed to celebrate their life, not mourn their death.
Amen.
If that person, we're going to do Trent's memorial service here in a few weeks. I hate to disappoint you. It's not going to be a bunch of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, because Trent's been walking streets of gold, having the time of his life. We ought to celebrate the influence of his life on our lives, not sit there and whine and cry about the fact that we don't have him anymore.
Yeah,
everybody doing okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I miss him. I miss seeing him sit right back there. His bald head and that look that he would give you. I miss that. But I'm not going to mourn it. I'm going to celebrate the fact he's in heaven. Sherry, I'm not going to mourn the fact that your brother's passed away and gone to heaven. I'm going to celebrate the fact that he's in heaven. Now, do I miss him? I think he and I could have been buddies and getting a lot of trouble together. I mean, we could have got along real well. Jimbo, your brother. You talk about a rough corn cob. He dried out twice. He was so rough. But he and I got along. After the first time I met him and won him to Christ, he told Jimbo and Loretta, that's my preacher. He called preachers other things before, but it wasn't my preacher. He'd cussed out every preacher and chased out every preacher he'd ever met. Say, what is that? I'd rather rejoice in the fact that at his funeral service, outside his trailer, with a makeshift pulpit that Brother Jimbo made out of press board, he said, preacher, don't hit that thing like you do yours. It's going to fall apart. It's going to explode. Folks, we were outdoors preaching, and there was more guns than people. Now, I'm not lying. I mean, there was 12 cars there and about 40 people. They all just come walking in off the mountain, amen? It was a bit of a rough crowd, but I think we had 20-some people saved there. Had an old Pentecostal preacher there, and he said, did my son get saved? I said, I don't know. Which one's your son? He said, the one in Camaway. I said, which one? He said, that one right there. I said, oh, yeah. Him and the lady beside him and the young man beside. He said, that's my daughter-in-law and my grandson. They all got saved. I said, yes, they did. The old Pentecostal preacher fell on his knees, started crying. He said, you did what I couldn't do. I said, no, God did it. I didn't do it. I said, what was... Do I miss your brother? Yeah, I think he and I could have really gotten in trouble together. A lot of trouble together. But I'm going to celebrate it, not mourn over it. Too many people let those days cause mourning in their life. Now, I got to hurry. I only have 3 points, but don't put your shoes on yet. Number one, the Bible says, how do we do this? Number one, we're not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Look at verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, the word fellowship means spend time with, to hang around with, or to be in harmony with. Stand up here, unfruitful work of darkness. Brother Dorsey has come and has worked with me. We've fellowshipped a lot in the 5 or 6 weeks he's been here. We've spent time together. He's starting to affect me a little bit. Shaking him a while. We were both about like that, working on his truck this week. 7 hours to do an oil change. Oh, my soul. Story after story. I had to keep him from pulling his gun out and shooting his truck. Now, may I say something? Fellowship is spending time with. God says we are not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ooh. In other words, don't hang around it. Don't spend time with it. Have a seat, unfruitful work of darkness. That means this. When depression comes, don't fellowship with it. Don't fellowship with depression. I did not say don't answer the door when it knocks. You don't know what's on the other side. But you do have the ability to shut the door and not spend time with it. You don't have to invite depression in to sit down on your couch and spend 3 days with it. Folks, depression comes to me, I just don't fellowship with it. Too many people, they hit a day and grief comes to them and they fellowship with grief over and over and over and over and over again. God says, don't fellowship with it.
Amen.
I didn't say don't celebrate, just don't fellowship. We look at the wrong side of the grief. Have you ever flown in an airplane, taken off, and it's raining, foggy, nasty? And all of a sudden, about minute and a half later, everybody's shutting the shades in the airplane because the sun's piercing your eyes because you got through the clouds. You're looking at the wrong side of the cloud. I don't care how bleak it is down here. It's sunshiny up there. S-O-N-S-H-I-N-E. Why don't we let the sun, Jesus Christ, shine through us when the depression comes, when the grief comes, when the hard times come, when pain and hurt comes? I didn't say you're going to feel any better, but you don't have to let it take control. We don't have to let loneliness control us. Don't fellowship with loneliness. Oh, I've got to hurry. God wants us to celebrate on these days, not fellowship with the darkness of these days. It's wonderful when depression comes to slam the door in its face and say, I don't need to spend time with you over that. I can celebrate the memory of the good part of that. No, you open the door, let them in, and let them live in your house for a week. I wonder why you go around, you could look like you suck pickle juice out of the bottom of the jar without opening the lid. You're stepping on your lower lip. Everywhere you go. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Oh, I got this wrong. I got that wrong. Good grief, come out of it and celebrate the hard days.
Amen.
You see, the devil and evil are always the ones associated with darkness. Did you hear that? The devil and evil are always associated with darkness. This is not my sermon. This is for free. That's why I'm very careful about, if I were a parent of young children, be careful of what you let them see. The Marvel comic book character stuff that they have on TV, it's all dark powers. Darkness and evil are always associated with the devil. Be careful. We fall into the devil's trap when we fellowship with darkness on hard days. God wants us to celebrate the victory, not fellowship with the darkness. February 6, 2001, my pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, died. Had a heart condition. They opened him up on February 5th. I had to preach College Chapel the night that he was being operated on. Try that one once. He went to heaven early on Tuesday morning. Every February 6th rolls around. This last February 6th rolled around. Mrs. Lopez, he was her pastor at the time as well. She said, and I had reminded her that morning of the anniversary date of Brother Hiles going to heaven. I didn't weep. I didn't cry. I celebrated his influence on my life, though. I took a period of time, and I remembered time with him and conversations with him and laughing together and staff meetings and different things, and I took time to celebrate his influence in my life. Matter of fact, I walked out to this property. Brother Dorsey, I stood right in this area. And I said, "Preacher, been 18 years ago, 19 years ago, I'd hope you'd be happy with what's going on." And I celebrated for a little time. I didn't mourn over it. I heard him preach over and over and over. I can hear his voice now. "Don't you cry for me when I go. I'll be playing tag with the angels." And I said, "Go give him a high five for me." I wasn't mourning his loss. I was celebrating his influence. Many years ago, one of his favorite meals, he and Mrs. Hiles on Fridays would go get Whopper Junior minus mayo plus mustard and fries and a drink. I remember one February 6th, Mrs. Lopez walked in my office and plunked one down for lunch for me. And I sat there and ate it and remembered Brother Hiles and thought, "Why'd you get a Whopper Junior? You should have got the whole thing." You see, I choose to celebrate, not to mourn. I don't want to re-hurt. Those hands carried his casket out. Those hands were on the casket last as he left his auditorium for the last time. Could I mourn? If I chose to, I'd rather celebrate. Let me make this statement. Most religions and many Christians allow the death of Jesus to overshadow his life. Let me say that again. Most religion and most Christians allow the death of Jesus to overshadow the life that he lived. Do you know why he had to live here for 33 plus years? He had to live our righteousness. He had to live our goodness. His life gave his death the credibility that it needed. Too much religion is based on his death. How about the open grave and his conquering of death? Up from the grave he arose. You say, "Preacher, you don't have a cross on your church or in your auditorium?" No, let's have an empty grave. Let's have an open tomb. Please don't get me wrong. There's nothing sinful about wearing a cross, but it wasn't just his death that gave you salvation. It was the life he lived sinlessly, his death on the cross, his shedded blood, his burial, but it was his resurrection. He died as the Lamb of God. He resurrected as our high priest. Amen. He put his blood on the mercy seat at the throne of heaven and said, "It is finished." Amen. It wasn't just a cross that represents that. And thank God for the cross. Yep. But that cross was only one part of it. And it was a small part of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
It wasn't the cross. It was the resurrection. How about you get an empty tomb and wear it on a chain?
Amen.
A church isn't supposed to be a cemetery relics. This church is a hospital, not a museum. It's not what was, it's what is. He didn't establish the church to remember the temple. He said, "Let's destroy the temple and I'll build it up in 3 days. It's called the church." I gotta hurry. Number two, Number one, we're not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Number two, we can't stop the evil days, so we ought to celebrate them. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He didn't say might be, he said they are evil. Do you know there are no great generals found in peacetime? Right. Name me one great peacetime general. You won't find one. Generals aren't made in peacetime, they're made in battle. Amen. The Douglas MacArthurs, the George Patton Juniors, and others. There's so many I could name right now. You don't find out that you're a good general because you can push papers.
Right.
You're a good general when you can endure the battle and make it happen. Somebody's pushed their keys and your horn is going off. Just so you know. Everybody's going to check their keys. It wasn't mine. Everybody look at me for a second. Sin has brought the opposition and the evil days. God didn't bring it. God did not bring... Everybody's now checking their keys. Hang on. It stopped. Whoever touched it, don't touch anymore, all right? And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of whose it was, all right? Can I tell you something? The opposition comes because of sin and evil, not because of God. The Bible says in the book of James, God tempteth no man with evil. Why is God putting me through this? God didn't. You sinned. He didn't.
That's right.
Amen. We're the sinners, not him.
You're right.
Well, they didn't sin that bad. Sin is sin.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? It's our sin. It's the sin of others. And evil, the Bible says that the evil rules in governments and higher powers. We won't go there. But D.C.'s full of evil. Moscow's full of evil. Berlin is full of evil. I don't care what government you go to, it's full of evil because power corrupts people who are lost. That's why we should have term limits on every political office from dog catcher up.
Amen.
Or should I say from dog catcher down to Congress? Somebody sent me something funny today. It was a picture of Bill Clinton outside of a prison cell with Hillary on the inside. And he's got that stupid laugh going, I told him she moved to a gated community. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. I liked that one. God's justice does not allow him to stop the effects of sin. Do you hear that? God's justice won't allow for him to stop the effects of sin. God's justice allows him to forgive you of your sin. He can wipe it away for eternity in a spiritual way. We must suffer it in our body and in our soul though. I can forgive somebody, but forgiving somebody doesn't take away what they did wrong. I don't care how many times you say, I'm sorry, if you got drunk, crossed the center line and killed somebody, you can say, I'm sorry, every day of your life, but it does not bring back the life that it took. I'm sorry are good words, but that's all they are is words. It doesn't change the result or the effect of the action. I used to tell my kids all the time, I don't care whether you say I'm sorry or not, it doesn't change what you did.
Right.
The punishment doesn't change because you said I'm sorry. It may not be as severe, but it's still coming.
Right.
Well, you poked your brother's right in the nose, okay? Tell him you're sorry. Well, I'm sorry, all right? But you're still going to face the consequences. We're going to have a board of education meeting. The board's going to be applied to the seat of knowledge. Amen. God clears us spiritually of our sin, but physically and in our soul, we suffer the effects of sin. Don't blame God because of the effects of sin. Man brought that, not God.
You're right.
He took care of his part when he forgave it.
Right.
Number three, and I got to finish. So, number one, we are not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Number two, because we can't stop evil days, we should celebrate them. And number three, our lives are defined by the hard times, not the easy times. Look at verse number 13. This ought to make some of you want to shout. But all things, notice something. Did it say all good things? It said all things that are reproved. That word reproved means brought through the fire, brought through the evil, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make it manifest is light. Now look at me. Let me show you how you celebrate the evil days. Come here, Mr. Evil. Stand there. So you need pointed things on your head. You need to look like the devil. Amen. Can I tell you something? Here's a Christian, and he faces evil and opposition and grief and depression. It doesn't look real exciting right here. But can I tell you something? When you finally make it all the way through the opposition and get to the other side, and God sheds light on it, you say, that wasn't so bad. I didn't understand it while I went through it. But when I got to the other side, in the words of that famous person, Shazam, got through it. God shed the light on it, and wow, I now understand. Thank you, have a seat. Noah didn't know what rain was. Noah had never seen a flood. The world had never seen a flood in over 1,500 years. Never a drop of rain. Never a clap of thunder. Never a dark cloud. Go build a boat 450 feet long, 75 feet high, and 80-some feet wide. Nearest body of water to float that boat was hundreds of miles away. Building it out in the middle of a virtual wasteland. Everybody laughing at him for 120 years. Don't you think in 120 years Noah wanted to give up? I know I'd want to. Imagine the storm water management fees he had to pay. Can I tell you something? When that door was closed by God himself and God sealed it, and the Bible says they waited 7 days inside the ark before the first raindrop hit. Can you imagine what the noise was like 7 days outside that ark? Everybody laughing and carrying on. When that first crack of thunder and flash of lightning hit and the rain started, imagine part of him said, ha, 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 ha. And the other part of him said, oh my. Listening to the people scream and beg to get in the ark. Listening to them scraping the sides of it with their hands to try to get in. I can't imagine how bad it must have been. Noah didn't see what the end was. He just obeyed God going through it. Moses didn't understand what it was going to take to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Joseph didn't understand why he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But the day came where God used Joseph to deliver his family. Everybody doing okay? David had to face Goliath. Then he had to face King Saul for about another 12, 15 years. His own hero trying to kill him. He didn't understand it till he sat on the throne. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They didn't understand having to go through the fiery furnace. Bless God, our God will deliver us. But if not, my favorite three words, but if not. And if you read the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you'll find out three went in the fire, four were in the fire, the fourth was like the Son of God, and Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus, but nowhere does it say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever saw him. They knew something supernatural was taking place, but it nowhere even implies that they saw him. Three came out. Jesus is still in the fire. You might have to go through the fire to see him. I could go on and on. Our lives are shaped by these hard times. Did you know no flood and no ark, no Noah? You know Moses, because of the deliverance and the 10 plagues and the commandments and the law that was given and the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and the manna and the water being provided. And may I say this, no problem, no Moses. No Goliath, no David. No famine and no jealousy of brothers, no Joseph. No fiery furnace, no Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Their lives were defined and etched in history by the difficult days, not the good days. Our lives are shaped by these hard times. The hard times are not there to destroy you. They're there to make you. God promises to go through these hard times with us. He never promises to take the hard times away. Folks, let's face it. It died. Nope, I turned it off. Oops. Works better if you turn the button the right way. Evil. All right. Can I tell you something? It's not the good days that define you, it's the bad ones. Everybody look at me for just a second here. We get mad at God for not taking the hard things away from us. That's like you trying to lose 50 pounds and going to the gym, sitting on the couch, watching everybody work out, and wonder why you didn't lose weight. Sitting on the couch at the gym doesn't do much good. Eating your bonbons and Snickers bars and drinking your Mountain Dew. Well, I went to the gym. Okay, you sat in the garage. You didn't become a car. Boom, boom, everywhere you go. You might be in the right place, but if you're not doing the right thing, it doesn't do any good. It takes opposition to make you stronger. You don't get stronger by watching somebody lift weight. You get stronger by lifting weight. You say, I keep getting stronger. I put more and more on my fork. Man, your mouth gets stronger. Your arm gets stronger, but that's it. You see, we sinful humans view life as though we should have no problems. Find me one place in the scripture that says you're not supposed to have problems. Sin has brought problems. Don't get mad at God because there are problems. God didn't sin, you did. God's not a welfare God. Everybody doing okay? We expect him to take all the effects of sin away and complain when he doesn't. And how fair is that to God? Opposition and hard times and burdens are what make us strong. We want to be strong with no problems. That does not exist. I wish I had more faith, preacher. Be careful what you ask for. More faith means more problems. Wish I was stronger in the faith. You're going to face more opposition. I wish I could overcome depression. That means more opportunities for depression are have to come. Because about the time you start doing something for God, you're going to twist the devil's whiskers and he's not going to be real happy. That means the opposition and the evil days are coming. Can I tell you something? These preachers that get up and say, oh,
as long as God keeps opening the doors, you're going the right direction. Well, everything I've had to do, the devil's slamming every door in my face he can. It's the shut doors I got to go through. It's not the open doors. If it's on flowery beds of ease, there's no opposition. We're probably not going the right direction. The will of God swings on the hinge of opposition, not on the hinge of ease. You think the devil is going to be happy about people getting saved? You think the devil's going to be happy about losing residents of hell? You think the devil is going to be happy about God being pleased? Then that means you will face opposition for living and doing right. I promise you. We're enjoying our church, but the days are coming. They're going to attack. Don't worry. You knock on enough doors, they're going to call the police on you. Say, does that bother you, preacher? Nope, means I'm going the right direction. One of our dear people this morning had a tough time, and I said, that'll twist the devil's whiskers. Overcame the tough time by serving God. Didn't stay at home and cry about it. Got through it. And by the way, God worked it all out. Didn't take the whole problem away. But it's going to come because of opposition, not because everything's going all right. I'm done. Let's take advantage of these special days. These are not days of ease. These are not days of no problems. Let's not get depressed or upset over the hard days. How about we celebrate these hard days? Every head bowed, every eye closed. There is one day that we must take advantage of. A very hard day. That is this, the day we die. Do you know for sure you're headed to heaven? I can tell you how to have a good day of death. Make sure you're on your way to heaven before you get there. That's the best way to celebrate life at death. To know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. And I needed it. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There may be some here today. You've been saved but never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Today we can take care of it. You just come forward. We have all the clothes you need, changing room that you can change into. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church. We'd love to have you today. Oh, I'm not going to pull any punches. Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church, King James Bible only. We're going to preach it as is. Everybody's welcome. I'm just not going to change the message for anybody. It's God's message, not mine. We'd love to have you. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. And when we stand to our feet, the piano begins to play. When the piano begins to play, if you've never been saved, you come forward. If you've been saved and not baptized and like to take care of it today, we can do it. If you've been saved and baptized and like to join our church, you come down front here, meet us, and we'll get you on the church roll today. As the piano begins to play, let's stand to our feet. Would you come?